Well, it's really great to see so many of you here today. I'll take my glasses off so I can actually see you. I'm from Brisbane in Queensland, and each year there's a thing called the exhibition, or because it's an Aussie thing, we call it the ECCA. And you go to the ECCA, and the ECCA is an exhibition of produce. So it's, you know, you go and all the best cows are judged and all the best sort of livestock as well as crops. And that's actually what it's about. But for the people of Brisbane, what it's really about, and for the kids, is going on rides and buying show bags. I don't know if you... Is there such a thing as a show bag in anything that I've been to in England? But basically, a show bag, all the big companies like Mars Bar and, you know, Snickers and all this sort of... create these bags, and they put chocolates and things in, and then they charge a fortune for them. And you go, and all the kids see how many show bags they can get, and off they go. And it struck me as I was thinking about the ECCA that, in a way, it's the sort of two sides of when we think about harvest and all the stuff in the world. There's both those things that are produced that we give thanks for, but then there's this other side to us that actually consumes quite a lot. And in the case of the ECCA, it's about seeing how many show bags you can get and how many rides you can go on, and frankly, how much money you can spend. And that's how it works. And I guess that is the challenge that's faced to us when we think about harvest. How do we see our lives as being, of what, in terms of what we produce, but also how are we dealing with what we consume in our lives as well? In the gospel reading, it's quite a hard-hitting story that we had at the start about a farmer who starts building bigger barns because he's had an amazing crop. And so he builds these barns so that he can store up for himself. Now, in some ways, that's probably, you would think that's quite clever. But what you may not realize in the story is that in that sort of, back in when the story was being written in Jesus' day, it wasn't like you went to the supermarket and there was a limitless supply of grain. In that community, if he did that, then other people were going to go hungry. That's the idea. So the farmer doesn't provide the grain, therefore people don't have grain, therefore they can't eat. And so the point that Jesus is making actually is that here is someone who is building up something for himself and not actually enabling other people to eat. And I guess that's how it worked. You see a picture of a big grain barn there. And of course, there's nothing wrong with storing up grain. But in the story here, what you have is you have the haves and the have-nots. The have is the farmer who builds up more for himself, and the have-nots, of course, are the local people who are probably going to go hungry because of what he's done. And so there is this constant challenge between what we produce and what we consume. I wonder how many of you have an iPhone. I find the whole iPhone phenomena remarkable. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. The latest iPhone is about £1,000. Is that right? Is it around that? You can get one. The cheaper version is £750. Is that right? But that's like the cheap one. But the Rolls Royce iPhone is like £1,000. And it just got me thinking about the whole iPhone phenomena. That there's just been this amazing market created, hasn't there, for an iPhone. So when the new one comes out, what happens? People queue overnight to be the first one to get the iPhone. The company of Apple is worth £960 billion. It's the sixth biggest company in the world. Okay, of course, the top was, a Chinese bank and various other banks. But the sixth biggest is Apple. And what really strikes me is that if Apple went bust tomorrow, a lot of people would lose their jobs, and that would be very sad. It would be terribly inconvenient for Apple fans, but fundamentally, the world would go on. In other words, there's an industry worth, or a company worth £960 billion based on consumption, based on the desire to have a particular brand. And I suppose that's part of the challenge we face as we think about harvest, as we think about, you know, by the way, folks, it's fine if you've got an iPhone. Okay. But it's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it, when you stand back. If Apple went bust, what would happen? And you couldn't use an iPhone, I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd switch to another brand. It would be an overnight change. You wouldn't like it, maybe, but you'd do that. And it's a challenge to the whole way we see the world, because as time's gone on, we've become more focused on what we consume and what we use than what we produce. We are defined by our consumption, the car we drive, the house we live in, the phone we use. And I think Jesus challenges that whole idea when he thinks about the way the world is. And he challenges the idea that the poor have to stay poor and the rich can remain the way they are. There's a famous Salvadorian archbishop who was famous for taking on some of the real baddies in El Salvador when there was a sort of military dictatorship. And his name was Oscar Romero. And Oscar Romero said this: "When I give bread to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no bread, they call me a communist." And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? To think, let's just, at this harvest time, let's really stand back and look at the world as it is and think about who has what and how we actually process that as ourselves in the way that we live. That's just a little picture of what we can do for the food bank. Just to really push the point home, we're going to watch a short clip. It's quite hard-hitting, but it's from a film called Daniel Blake, and it's set in a food bank. We're just going to watch the screen. Well, how about that? If that doesn't get you going, nothing will. And that's a reality for a lot of people in the UK. That's why we're supporting the food bank, because there's people within a mile of where we live who actually are in exactly that situation. The food bank is empty because people are desperate to get food. And so that's a challenge for us, as not all of us, to be honest, but quite a few of us actually have enough, most of us have enough food to have. We can choose to buy fruit for our children because it's good for them. But we're in a world where there are the haves and the have-nots. And so the challenge for us is to think about how we live our lives and to reflect on these facts. Listen to this. The food and drink in the UK that we waste each year, just in one year, would fill 9 Wembley stadiums, 100 Royal Albert Halls, 40 million wheelie bins, 4,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools, or 540,000 bin lorries. It's really interesting, isn't it? Or interesting is probably the wrong word, but extraordinary, that that's the world that we live in. We're in a culture that actually, where we're throwing quite a lot away, and then others don't have very much at all. And I suppose the challenge for us is not really to feel guilty about that and to live with guilt, but actually to be practical and for our attitudes to be challenged in how we live our lives. When we reflect on people who are unemployed and people who are in those situations, let's not stand in judgment, but let's actually stand beside them. There's lots of charities to be involved. Now, I'm in a couple of housing charities in Bradford. One is Abigail and Hope Housing that deal with people who are destitute and homeless, and I find that enormously helpful. The second thing, though, that Jesus goes on with is he then presents the alternative. And the alternative to being consumers all the time, to trying to get the latest iPhone and whatever else, while other people perhaps are going hungry, is to be content. To be content. And he uses two pictures. The first is a picture of a raven. He says, look at the raven who goes around and has enough. And the second, of course, is the picture of the lilies in the field that look amazing, in spite of the fact that, you know, they just grow. And what he's not saying is don't work. But what he is saying, Jesus is saying here, is that we're called to have an attitude of simplicity and contentment in what we do. Look around us and we think, one of the beautiful things about the church today is just the flowers, like the lilies of the field, that are created and grow. And I'm not sure whether, I suppose they were harvested and grown, but isn't it lovely just to look at them? And that is Jesus's whole point. We are to be thankful for what we have, to be content with what we have. And in a sense, this is one of those times of your harvest when we can do that. We look around and say, do you know what? Thank you, God, for what we have. Thank you, God, for what we have. It's a very simple idea. It's not complicated. Thank you, God, for what we have. Because I think being grateful is actually quite countercultural and different to what we have in the world around us, where the culture is sort of aspirational and we're always trying to go on to the next thing, whatever that is. You know, it might be a nicer car or a nicer house or maybe a nicer holiday. I don't know. And that's fine. That's sort of how we're made. But actually, the message here that Jesus is saying is we're called to be content with what we have. And we see that in the writing of St. Paul as well. It's quite difficult to live in a simple, sustainable way in the culture that we're in. We have to challenge the way that everything around us is saying, buy me. Watch telly. If you drive this car, you know, you're going to be able to, I don't know, look good. That's the culture we're in. But Jesus is saying, forget about that. Let's be content. Some of you will know people who are those sorts of people who manage to be really content. About 6 months ago, a guy called Arthur Poynton died down in Leicester, and I'd known him in Bradford. And he was a chap who just radiated contentment. I can't explain it, but when you saw him, his glass was just always half full. And, you know, he was just a remarkable man, And let's be people like that. Not, this is not just about positive thinking. It's actually about being real and saying, do you know what? Actually, in my case, I live in a large four-bed detached house with a lovely garden. I drive a fabulous car. Don't laugh. Which costs less than an iPhone. Sorry. But I do. I mean, I've got everything I need. It's got electric windows and everything. We have a lot going for us, and we need to sometimes stop and remember that. And thirdly, that verse right at the end, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. This idea here is about giving God the first fruits of our life, not waiting to see what's left over, but actually thinking, what's the best that I can give to God, and what's the best that I can give to others? And I think that's a deeply challenging idea, saying, what actually is the harvest of my life? You know, what am I growing? What am I producing? What sort of relationships am I developing? Who am I blessing? That is a challenging way to live. But I think it's a deeply satisfying way to live. One of my heroes is a guy called, two people, Arthur and Molly Pont. You will never have heard of them, but they were missionaries in Iran, both surgeons. He was a general surgeon, and she was a obstetrician. And these are two people, honestly, they are the most upper-class people I've ever met. You know, seriously, seriously upper-class people. Really kind of... and yet they just said, you know what, we're not interested in Harley Street, we're not interested in all that stuff. So they went to work in Iran, and then when they got thrown out of Iran because of the revolution in 1979, they moved to Pakistan, and eventually they went to work in the NWFP, Northwest Frontier of Pakistan, which you can't even go there now, it's too dangerous. It's sort of controlled by various warlords and that kind of thing. It's not, you know, they were working among the poor in that place. That's the harvest of their lives. Do they want to build a, you know, live in a nice detached house in Surrey or wherever? Or do they want to go work? They don't even own a house. They were given a house when they came back by CMS to live in because they've never, you know what I mean? You get the picture. But also, last week we had Alicia who came and, about a month ago, Alicia's six and she's in Rainbows or in Rainbows. And she decided, I think the alpacas need a shelter. And look, actually, we had decided they needed a shelter. We're looking at that. But she of her own bat, decided we need to get a shelter. And so through Kim, her mum, we worked it out. And do you know what? She has raised, through the cakes for last week and through Just Giving or whatever it's called, over £500. That's not a bad harvest from an idea. But you've got to have your values in the right place to make those sort of decisions and those sort of calls. And that is what Jesus is challenging us to here at Harvest. What are we actually producing? How are we living our lives? And what can we do? And so that's a challenge for all of us, actually, just as much for me as for anyone else. You know, where is my heart? Where is my treasure? And I guess that question of where is my harvest at this time? Am I being thankful and thinking, thank you, Lord, that I live in this lovely place, in a country where there's water, where there's freedom, where there's democracy? Thank you for those things. And now, how can I serve God and be a blessing to others in my life? I think that is the message of Harvest.